The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 24, verses 46 to 53. It is page 141 in the New Testament. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 to 53. Allow me to read the words. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Amen. Among the books written by Pastor Gordon MacDonald, famous for his book Order Your Private World, there is a book titled A Resilient Life. And this is an excerpt from that book. When Pastor MacDonald was in high school, he was in the track team. And at the time, there was a coach named Marvin W. Goldberg who posted the day's training schedule on a bulletin board around noon every day. And on that board, there were about 1,000 staples or papers detailing each individual track member's schedules. And the papers attached to the bulletin board contained the individual exercise plans for each members of the team, including warm-up exercises and training. The training for the track team began at 3:30 p.m. Warm-up exercises were a must, followed by the exercises to increase agility, endurance, and speed, and finally, training on strides, as well as relay racing practice and technical training, which were all done to refine their running strategies. Coach Goldberg was very careful in creating a 2 to 3 hour workout plan. All training was conducted according to a plan developed for each athlete several months in advance. Among them specifically, baton passing required very sophisticated skills among the relay team members. In particular, in a high-stakes race, success or failure of the race was determined by baton passing. So Coach Goldberg repeatedly emphasized that the timing of the baton pass must be perfect. Dropping the baton while running a relay race was unimaginable. So practicing baton passing while sprinting with all of one's might was very exhausting. Some students were dissatisfied with such excessive baton pass training. And Coach Goldberg was well aware of this too. So the coach used to say to his students, "You will be a member of a relay team your whole life. Whether you have a family or work with colleagues at workplaces, there may be times when you need to hand over important documents or important tasks to someone else. And it is at this point in life where the handover happens when mistakes and issues arise." So if you learn how to pass a baton well now, you will be able to set a good example when you hand over more important things later on in your lives. But back then, Gordon could not understand the meanings of the words of the coach. Baton passing was no more than an exchange of sticks, and it was not until many years later that he was able to finally understand the underlying meaning of the coach's remarks. Coach Goldberg thought of all training as connected to the student's future, but Gordon was not able to see that far ahead back then. Almost every afternoon during his 3 years in high school, Gordon went to the bulletin board with his spiked sneakers in hand and looked over the day's training plan. There was never a day when the training had been easy. So the first few times, he actually tried to do some various tricks to change the contents of the training. He would say, "Coach, is it true that I have to run 400 meters 10 times today?" "Coach, it says that today's training requires 8 kilometers of endurance training. I wonder if you were perhaps mistaken." "Coach, yesterday I went up and down the 200 steps of stairs 12 times. Is it really true that we have to do it again 15 times today?" But even against such complaints, the coach had never backed down from his plan. And he was not the type to negotiate. He firmly believed that Gordon and the other students could pull off the training. So through such hard training, Coach Goldberg wanted to raise his students to be good members of a society who could take on not only the track field, but also greater responsibilities in the future. And Pastor Gordon MacDonald confesses that even now, whenever he wants to make excuses for big or small things in his life, he continues to hear the coach's voice. "Gordon, you know how important this training is, right? Didn't I tell you about how training prepares you for a race?" Physical strength is everything, and strength can be only be gained through everyday training. In the same way, you need to continue the exercise for your soul every day. When Pastor MacDonald wrote that book, he was close to turning 70. But in his study, he still had the baton made of wood during his track team years. That baton was from a 1,600-meter relay race where his team competed with other high school track teams and won. The names of all his fellow runners were written on the baton. And sometimes when he looks at the names whose ink have all faded, memories of them come to his mind. They were all comrades in arms and a happy handful. Coach Goldberg essentially brought them together as a united team. Today's text also describes a scene similar to baton passing in a relay race. But this race is not a 400-meter relay or a 1,600-meter relay race, but rather a relay that passes on the words about the kingdom of God, that spreads the gospel of grace, and one that spreads servitude and devotion. Verses 46 to 48 in today's scripture. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Jesus, who was resurrected, gave his disciples his final teachings before ascending to heaven. His suffering, death, and resurrection were something that he spoke about repeatedly to his disciples. And Jesus came into this world for such, and he has completed the work. Now he was passing on that legacy of his work to his disciples. So in other words, Jesus is saying, "I came to this earth and ran my own part in this race. Will you now pass on this baton of the good news and devotion from me to continue on with the race? I truly believe in you." Essentially, Jesus wanted to unite his disciples as comrades in arms, as one team, and as a happy handful until the very last moment. Apostle Paul, who believed that he inherited the relay baton from Jesus, also confessed as such in Acts. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." Here, Paul confesses that he has inherited and was passed on with the baton of the gospel of God's grace from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he considers his life worth nothing to him until he completes his racing course and the lane that was given to him. Now, Paul was very aware that his life is precious, but still, he confesses that what is more precious is his calling and his mission. After being passed on with the baton from the Lord and finishing his race, Apostle Paul passes on the baton to another person and confesses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. A drink offering is an offering in which wine is poured over the burning sacrifice during a burnt offering, peace offering, or a sin offering, and it's the scent of the wine is offered up to God. Just like a drink offering, Apostle Paul is confessing that he has completely poured out his life to the Lord. And Paul also confesses that he had fought the good fight. It may have been easier if Paul was fighting the evil fight. In an evil fight, you can fight according to the rules of the world and to your own desires. However, in a good fight, you need to concede yourself completely and let the other party win. You need to remind the other party who says that they do not need Jesus Christ, that indeed He is their Savior, and those who say that there is no eternal life, that there is eternal life, and to guide them to Jesus Christ, to let them enjoy such eternal life. There is a proverb in Korean that goes, "No parent can overcome his child." Why is this so? Is it because parents have less physical power than their children? Or is it because they have less than their children? Or is it because they are less educated than their children? None of this is true. When the parents grow older and become less powerful, and the children in time become much richer and more educated than their parents, then the children may actually intentionally concede to their parents. So the reason why parents cannot ever beat or overcome their children is because parents fight for their children, and children fight for themselves. In other words, parents are always fighting the good fight for their children. It is not easy to fight the good fight, but it's even more difficult to follow that path of fighting the good fight till the very end. And this is why many people give up the good fight along the way. But Apostle Paul confessed that he had finished his course. He was passed on with a baton, and he finished his course. And during all of it, he has kept the faith. Paul says that after fighting the good fight and finishing the race, God will give him and award him the crown of righteousness for keeping the faith. If it is our job to fight the good fight, finish the course, and keep the faith, then it is God's role to award us the crown of righteousness. No matter how hard we fight the good fight, run the race as fast as we can, and keep our faith, if God does not award us with a crown afterwards, then there is no point in living such a life. Also, Paul does not say that only he must fight the good fight, finish the course, and keep the faith. But he says that everyone who receives the baton that the Lord has passed on must do the same. Then anyone who endures the course to the very end will be able to wear the same crown of righteousness as he have done, awarded by God. Judging from this, we come to realize that the criteria and the grading of God is different from the criteria of the world. In the world, grading is done on a curve, always. So there is only one winner in whichever industry or department. There is only one winner, only one who gets first place. And that winner takes everything. And no one questions such winner-takes-all system. Anyone who ranked a second or third will inevitably experience the feeling of defeat under this relative grading system. However, God has a completely different grading system. His assessment is absolute and final. Before God, not just 2 to 3 people can be tied for first place, but hundreds or thousands of people can rank in the first place. And going beyond that, everyone can become first. So before God, having the first place is both meaningless but also absolute. It may be meaningless in the sense that everyone can become the first place, whereas in the world, only one person can become the winner and rank first. However, ranking first before God is absolute and final. Being graded on a curve means that such assessment is relative and prone to changes and is also time-bound. However, God's absolute evaluation and grading is valid beyond time and space. And this is where we can place our hopes and expectations. Even though we may seem insignificant and small in this world, we can all be number one and rank first before God. In order for Jesus' disciples to take over the baton from Jesus and continue the relay race to spread the kingdom of God, spread the gospel of grace, and to spread servitude and devotion, there was one last very important training that remained. Verse 49. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. The final training was to be clothed with the power from on high. These words were very important. It's because God's work is not something that people can do with their own abilities or their own talents. And that is why God continues to tell the disciples to wait until they are clothed with the power from on high. And even then, we cannot choose to wear such cloth of power, but we have to wait until we are chosen to wear them. So the word that's most emphasized in verse 49 is the subject I. Greek has various meanings to a verb. So just by looking at the form of the verb, you are able to tell the gender, whether it is masculine, feminine, or neutral, and the number, whether it is singular or plural, of the subject. So when the subject is a pronoun, only the verb is used and no other subject was separately mentioned in the Greek language. This is because you do not need a subject to understand the meaning of the sentence. However, in exceptional cases, a subject was used to emphasize its importance, even if the subject was a pronoun. Going back to this verse, when Jesus said his words, he used the subject, I. This means that Jesus was emphasizing that I will send the Holy Spirit promised to you. He is expressing his willingness to send us help by saying, I will be with you to ensure that you do not have to work on your own accord. And after that, Jesus did the following, verse 50. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. The two major competitors, most competitive competitors in the Olympic track race, are the United States and Jamaica. In Korea, being selected as a national player for archery and short track team is as difficult as winning a medal at the Olympics. For the United States and Jamaica, it's the 100 meter and 200 meter short track race, which is the most difficult. The 33rd 2024 Paris Olympics will be held in July this year. The last Olympics was postponed for a year due to COVID-19, and so the 2020 Tokyo Olympics were held in the year 2021. At that event, the U.S. won the gold medal in the men's 1,600-meter relay race. However, for the 400-meter men's relay race, it was not the U.S. or Jamaica that won the race, but Italy, who took the gold medal, which was unprecedented. Jamaica took first place overall in the preliminaries, but finished fourth in the finals. As shocking as Italy's first ever win in the competition was, the United States' elimination in the preliminary games was also shocking. The Olympic 400-meter relay race is divided into two groups, and the top three teams from each group would advance to the finals. And except for the six teams that have already reached the finals, the remaining two teams with better records were going to join the remaining spots. And at the time, the U.S. team also had a silver medalist in the 100-meter race and was second to none in terms of record. However, the U.S. team finished sixth out of the eight teams in their group. On that day, when runner number two passed the baton to runner number three, he has hesitated a bit. In fact, there were quite a few cases where the U.S. team had made a baton pass mistake during the 400-meter relay race. Although each of the athletes were all individually excellent, because they were all training within different teams and different groups, the training of baton passing was severely lacking, which led to the U.S. being excluded from the finals. And so, as can be seen, in a relay race, baton passing is very important. While passing on the baton to his disciples, in order to continue on the race to spread the gospel of the kingdom of God and the gospel of grace, Jesus did not tell his disciples to run quickly, nor did he reprimand them as to why they passed the baton in such a manner. Rather, Jesus simply accepted them and took them to the race with him. He took us in with a kindness, much like how a parent would hand over a child to a kindergarten teacher or vice versa. Today's scripture depicts the final scene of Jesus and his disciples in verses 50 to 51. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Verses 51 to 53. From a human perspective, it seems like the disciples should be sad to see Jesus leave. However, the disciples have worshipped Jesus, and their joy was uncontrollable. The Gospel of Luke and the Acts are based on the same story. It is a collection of the words by Luke, who wrote to a high-ranking official named Theophilus about what Jesus Christ had done and taught, and about the kingdom of God as practiced and preached by those who follow Jesus Christ. So if you look at the words from that perspective, the ascension of Jesus is at the center of this whole story. And after Jesus' ascension, the disciples' lives were completely different from that of before. and they were filled with a joy that they had never experienced before. When baby Jesus came to this earth, the angel of God told the shepherds in the fields, Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So Jesus' coming to this earth was good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And in the same way, Jesus' ascension was a great joy to the disciples who followed him. And thanks to this, we can also now serve the one who came to give us eternal joy. And such joy becomes deeper and more mature in the temple. Although the disciples later went out into the whole world, the place where they first enjoyed God was the temple. Only when we are able to experience that joy that the Lord gives us in our own temples can we live as determined Christians at our homes, at schools, at work, and throughout our lives. Even after hearing Jesus' words, the disciples did not completely believe in him. Even after seeing the resurrected Jesus with their own eyes, they did not continue to live as disciples of the Lord, but returned to their previous jobs and lives. So how could such disciples live a completely different life than before, after seeing Jesus ascend to heaven? According to verse 52 of today's scripture, it was only when the disciples saw Jesus ascending to heaven that they truly began to worship him. The Greek word for worship is proskuneo in Greek, as we learned in the New Believers class. It is a combination of the prefix pros, meaning towards, and kuneo, which means to kiss. This is a word used when a servant kisses his master's feet. It is an act that thoroughly humbles oneself and completely exalts the owner. So in other words, this word is a confession to serve only one master and only one God. And when the disciples focused only on Jesus, their lives have changed completely. Jesus, whom the disciples previously followed, was an imaginary Messiah that they had created for themselves. And this imaginary Messiah they created was a Savior who would not only free Israel from the Roman oppression, but also make Israel a nation that could have strength in the world, just like when David had ruled the kingdom. And they thought that if such a kingdom was established, then they would be able to occupy high positions as high-ranking officials. However, from the time that they saw Jesus ascend to heaven, the disciples sincerely accepted Jesus as the Son of God, who suffered and rose from the dead on the third day, and who served his life according to his sole purpose. And since then on, the disciples believed that if they repented and were baptized in the name of the Lord, their lives will be renewed, and through this, they were able to become the passageways of God's words. When Jesus came to this earth through Mary, wise men or the astrologers from the east followed a star to visit him. However, after they entered Israel, they did not receive guidance from the star for a while. This is because they thought that Jesus, who was born as king, would naturally be born in the royal palace in Jerusalem. So they went to King Herod's palace and caused an uproar. And after that, they went outside, and the star that they had seen previously were seen again. at the place where Jesus was born. Book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Just as the disciples had great joy when they saw Jesus ascend to heaven, the wise men from the east also rejoiced greatly when they saw the star that guided them again. And then they went into the house where baby Jesus was, and his mother Mary was there with them. Jesus' father Joseph was probably there too. However, the wise men from the east did not congratulate Father Joseph on his new son. Neither did they recognize his mother Maria or acknowledge how hard it was to give birth to baby Jesus. They simply bowed down and worshipped baby Jesus and offered their gifts. And this is the essence of faith. The lives of those who have bowed down and worshipped the Lord with all their hearts and might and all their lives will inevitably be translated into actions. The disciples became the protagonists of a new history when they served the Lord as the center rather than trying to make themselves the center of their own lives. They did not learn much and did not have much. So, from the worldly perspective, they were considered to be less. But when they started bowing down to the Lord allowed them to spread the words of the kingdom of God and to redeem the world. Today is the last Sunday to preach the Gospel of Luke. The first time I preached the Gospel of Luke was on Sunday, August 24th, 2014. In my first sermon, I explained the reason for preaching the Gospel of Luke as follows. The Gospel of Luke and the Acts were written by Luke. If Acts serves as the sequel to the Gospel of Luke, Luke also serves as the prequel to Acts. I am listening to the Book of Acts through Pastor Yi Jae-chul, and the Gospel of Luke explains how Apostles Peter and Paul, as well as many other apostles and many other Christians, were able to live such faithful lives and why. And that why was because of Jesus Christ, who has shed his blood on the cross to give them eternal life. Jesus Christ, and such Jesus Christ, is clearly revealed in the Gospel of Luke. In order to cultivate our lives according to the Book of Acts, we must deeply learn about who Jesus Christ is first. And I hope that by examining the Gospel of Luke, the Jesus that we have known before will be remembered and ingrained in our hearts more deeply. And as we try to live as proper Christians, the world will always try to break us down with its secular values. Against this, it is only Jesus Christ who can prevent us from being immersed in such worldly values and to allow us to live a Christian life, a life worthy of a child of God. So as we examine the Gospel of Luke, where the Lord is the main character, I sincerely hope that our lives and faith will become more mature and resemble that of the Lord. If we open up our windows of hearts to the Lord in our lives and worship only the Lord, and focus only on the Lord and His words, we will eventually become the passageways of the Lord until the moment we take our last breath on this earth, and the records of our lives will become our own acts. So after we run the course that is given to us with faith on the path of life given to us, we will be able to become the runners of faith who pass on the baton to others. Starting next week, we will share Ephesians, one of Apostle Paul's prison letters, which consists of 6 chapters and is called the Queen of the Epistles. Let us pray. Dear Father God, before Jesus has been resurrected, he has reminded the disciples that his sufferings, resurrections, and sins need to be reminded. And during such, he passed on the baton of his mission to his disciples. He also promised that they will be clothed with the power from on high. Up until now, the disciples were very secular and were also immersed in their own fears and have locked themselves down. However, after they have seen Jesus being resurrected and being ascended into heaven, they worshiped you and they truly began to live as true disciples of God and translated their faith into actions, which became the record and the book of Acts. Please grant us the mercy to also worship you and to live as true disciples of you so that our own lives could be our own acts. For the past 10 years, we have learned about the words of Luke, and we thank you for giving us the grace and mercy to learn about the words of the book of Luke. Through the words that we have learned through the book of Luke, we have enjoyed the meanings of the words and your grace. Let us also fulfill our roles as the runners of faith. Let us also grant us the mercy to pass on the baton of faith to all the others as well. We all pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.